If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 54, as we continue to look at the steps of lament, and speaking of steps, Kurt, I'm sorry to hear you have one leg short. Do you ever find yourself trying to walk in circles? Let's go to our God in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your Spirit, for your love for us, that you've given us a language to be able to express the hard times in our lives and also the joyous times. Your word is full of joy and heartbreak because we live in a broken world and we experience that brokenness. Through our sin, we contribute to that brokenness, Lord, but you are putting things back together through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his Spirit. And so, Lord, as we live in that tension, as we live in what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will finally accomplish on that day when you return, Lord, help us to live in hope, live in faith with you. So, Lord, please prepare our hearts for this season we are coming in. May we enter in with thanksgiving, and may we push forward in anticipation of knowing you have come and ransomed us from sin, Satan, and death. And so, Lord, we just ask that we would grow in this moment. And if there be any error in me, Lord, may it fall to the ground. Give us wisdom and discerning hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so before we begin our Advent series next week and enter into the new year after that with a study of Lamentations, we need to wrap up what it means to and what it looks like to lament. And so remember, a lament is a prayer offered to God in our pain that leads us to trust. Okay, so the lamenting is a journey that we take. And so we have seen both in Scripture and our own experience that life is hard. It doesn't always seem to line up with what God promises us. We have seen that God has given us a language, however, or we could even say that these are songs that express this reality. And so lament is, again, the pathway to process what we are experiencing and feeling as we work towards trusting God in the midst of our pain. And so again, lamenting isn't a one-off, okay? It's not a quick shot in the arm that vaccinates you to all pain and sorrow. It is a road that we walk. It is a pathway to trusting God when things rot, when things stink, when things just don't work out the way we think they should, or they don't seem to line up with who God is and what he has promised. And so as we looked at lament, we have expressed the reality that our feelings and our emotions don't always line up with the promises of God. And so while we should not trust our hearts, we shouldn't trust our feelings or our emotions, they are real. We really do feel sad. We really do feel hurt. We really do feel angry. And so lament helps us to express those emotions and feelings biblically. And so in the midst of all that, we turn to God. That is the first thing we must do. When there's pain and sorrow, we turn to God. We don't just turn to our friends or our family, but the most important place to turn is to God, because it is a natural inclination when life isn't going right to huddle away, to turn away from God. And especially if it's really hard and we have questions about why God is doing that, the temptation is to say, I'm not going to talk to you until you fix this. That's actually the exact opposite of what you should do. We need to turn to God, and then we complain. And so for those of us who are complainers, this is our jam. Okay, this is where we offer up, but we don't offer up because out of pride. We offer up our complaints in humility to God, telling him exactly what we're feeling, exactly what is going on in our hearts, expressing that. We let the pressure cooker of pain out of our hearts. And then we ask him for help, for relief. And so the complaint and the asking are where our emotions and feelings are expressed and released to God. It's how we feel. And we are going to turn and talk to God about it. And then the final step is to trust. And trust is different. Whereas asking and complaining are really rooted in how we're feeling and what we want to see, trust is choice. We must choose to trust. It is based not in our feelings or emotions. It's based on the truth of God and Scripture, and it's a choice. And so this final step in lament only happens if we choose to make it happen. We need to make the choice to trust. As Mark Rogop, again, when I started off this series, I talked about the book by Mark Rogop, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, celebrating the gift of lament. And he says this, "I know far too many people who are stuck in their complaints. Others have never moved beyond their requests and what they want God to do for them." And so we can get stuck in a cycle of complaint and asking if we, and never move on to trusting God with our circumstances. And you know, when we, as we're going to see, when we trust God with our circumstances and we vocalize that trust, it actually renews our hearts and our minds to see that what we are dealing with, God can handle as we remind ourselves and trust in the promises he has. And so we turn, we complain, and we ask so that we are led to trust. This is the end goal of lament, trust. This is what strengthens us, that we can turn, complain, and ask in our pain, and then still trust in the midst of it all is a miracle. It is God's work, God's language. Trust is where we are going rather than wallowing in our complaint or our requests, our asking. And so there is a destination, and that destination is trust in God. And so let's read through Psalm 54. And again, Psalms are songs, a masque of David, and the context is when the Ziphites went and told Saul, "Is not David hiding among us? O God, save me by your name. Vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves, Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies, and your faithfulness put an end to them. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies." And so we see this turning and asking in our helplessness. O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. A reaching out, a turning to God. He is helpless. And so as we read through this psalm, we see a man who is going to be king one day, has no place to turn, and yet he turns to God. He needs God's help, and so he asks God to save him, not by weapons of war, but by his name. And so we have this reality that by the name of God we are saved. There is power in the name of our God. At the name of our God, nations rise, nations crumble. There is victory in God's name. For He is our King, He is our Creator, and when we identify with Him, when we put our hands, our lives, our hands, our feet in His hands, we have victory. And so this psalm was written when David was being pursued by King Saul. And what did King Saul want to do? Kill him. Okay? I don't think many of us have been in that situation where we literally are on the run because someone is trying to kill us. And so David was on the run because a man who once loved him now wants him dead. And so David needed God to act and vindicate him. And so he turns and complains amid his helplessness. This wasn't just one time in David's life, however. David's life was marked with laments and with pain, either from those around him like this, even his son at one point tries to dethrone him, or through his own sin when he commits adultery with Bathsheba. David screwed up on his own and also was innocent of much of the pain he incurred. His life was marked by many trials. And so David lamented quite a bit to his God, because grief doesn't visit us just once. Grief often visits us often. And so we must enter into lament over and over again so that we can continually be led to trust. And so trust is looking and talking to God, sharing our complaints with Him, asking for His help, and then recommitting our lives to believe God is who He says He is, and believing in what He has done, even in the midst of trials. And, you know, Jesus even talks about this when He teaches us to pray. He's not teaching about just praying in the midst of pain, but when we have desires. And He tells us to keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. And so we keep lamenting our pain and leading to trust. Because lament doesn't just happen when things calm down and we get a chance to breathe. Lament is what we express as we're gasping for air. It happens as we complain of our struggles. And so David says, this is what's wrong, God. Strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. And so David is surrounded. His life is threatened. There is no compassion in those who seek his life. And he can't even hope that their faith in God will stop them from pursuing him. They don't even know him, so they can't possibly have any valid reason to rise up against him. And yet he is in this predicament. David complains of these circumstances to God. He gets specific with what bears down on him, and he needs God's deliverance from these unbelieving, ruthless men. And through all this fear, all of this pain, all of this frustration and unfair treatment and injustice, David complains, and it leads him to a place of worship. Oftentimes, when we're suffering, the last place I think we sometimes want to find ourselves is in church, in worship. But that's actually every time David complains and is in pain and grief, he ends up in worship. David could have just gone off the rails and complained about the danger he faced and the men pursuing, but he works his way to trusting in God. And this turn to trust is critical, because we must learn to live in the tension of God's goodness and our pain. We live with the reality that God is sovereign and we can't understand everything He does and the tapestry that He is putting together in our lives. And so with these realities, we must choose to trust. And we must choose to trust even when life is hard. Lament is the language of the hard seasons as we fight to choose to trust. And lament is, just as it's the gasping for breath, it's also the battle cry to get us to trust. You know, it can sometimes feel like waiting on God is just sitting doing nothing. But lament actually helps us to wait actively. We're not just doing nothing. We're sitting in communion and knocking on our Savior's door for relief and help. We are lamenting and waiting for God to move, and this means we are regularly putting our confidence in God's ability to be God. Lamenting is the language of suffering that transitions us to trust. And we trust in God's character and his promises. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Do you notice what he's doing here? He's saying, my life is threatened by these men, but in ultimate reality, my life is not in their hands. It's not in my hands. It is in the sovereign God's hands. David tells us to look and see God, his helper. And so behold isn't a momentary glance, but a gaze that takes all that God is in. So if I were to say, look over there, that's not what behold means. Behold means to stay and sit, absorb, take in this God. You can't do this on a dime. It takes time to sit, to marinate in the goodness and greatness of our God. It's not a glance, it's a gaze. We must fix our eyes upon him, for he upholds David's life and he upholds our lives. He will act justly. David is sure that God will return this evil to his enemies. And so this might be a bit uncomfortable for our non-confrontational spirit, but David is relying on God, not himself, to enact this justice. And so there's nothing wrong when we are unjustly treated to say, God, correct this. Take care of those who trouble me. And that's essentially what he's saying here. God, take care of them. I know you will. And so David is relying on God. God will put an end to this trial and this attack. And in response to trusting God, David will offer up a sacrifice and thanksgiving to God. We don't have to wait for our circumstances to change to offer up praise. God is the God who works and provides for us. He, and as he has done for David, has delivered us, his people, and will continue to do so, not always as we anticipate or the way we would like it. And oftentimes it's not in the neat, tidy provisions. But he is our God who delivers us. He has ultimately delivered us through the messiness of the cross, and that's the gospel. You know, when we actually come to faith, we can actually look at that as a process of lament. We lament that we are sinners. And we ask God to save us, not because we're great people, but because of what Jesus has done. And so we say, God, I am a sinner. I have done these things. I have lived apart from you. Lord, please forgive me. I lay my life before you. Please save me. For you have promised to save me through your Son, Jesus Christ. And in that moment, putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we are his. That is the one lament that is answered immediately. When we lay down our lives, when we lay down our sin before the cross, Jesus takes it. He does not delay. And we are in his kingdom forevermore. He has ultimately delivered us through the messiness of the cross. Through one man's death, our trials have been given a purpose. We do not, just as Corinthians says, we do not labor in vain, but we have a hope, and the cross has given our pain purpose to point our hearts and point a watching world's hearts to him. And so true Christianity walks through trial and lays those pains before God with trust. We lay our complaints before him. We ask him boldly for help, and we choose to trust him in the midst of it all. And we are choosing to trust him over and over and over again. And this is the rhythm of lament in the sorrows of life. And again, as author, Pastor Mark Vroga puts so well, trust is believing what you know to be true, even though the facts of suffering might call that belief into question. Trusting God for who he says he is, that is the way faith works. And not because we're not sure of who God is, and not because God has never done anything in the past. No, faith is evidence-based. And the ultimate evidence we have is that Jesus Christ died and rose again on our behalf, in our place. And so we can trust God now because he's been trustworthy. When we heard the gospel, we trusted that it was true and the Bible was true. We trusted and believed that forgiveness is possible for those who receive Jesus. Trusting in God's grace welcomes us into his family, but it doesn't stop there. Trust keeps us walking and growing in him, especially in the dark times. We walk in continual trust throughout every season of our life. The seasons of suffering are just harder and more intense. And so lament is the language God has designed to remind us that God is worthy, he is to be trusted, no matter the circumstances. Choosing to trust, even if we don't feel it, requires that we rejoice, even though we can't see how it all works out and makes sense. Again, Pastor Mark, so simply put, but profoundly, promises don't end the pain, but they do, again, give it purpose. We do not labor or suffer in vain. 2 Corinthians 4:17 to 18. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And I believe that this verse right here is made real in the midst of lament. Notice, it doesn't say to ignore what's going on around us, but we trust God with what is going on around us. We look to God and lament points our hearts to him as we rejoice in his grace. And so the lamenting looks different over the course of our lives, and it also depends on the state of our soul, the state of our hearts in each season. And it can even vacillate and waffle from day to day. Some days we're more confident than others. At the beginning of the week, we say, God, great and mighty God, you are in control and I trust you. Later that week, you will have to rely on God's word to lead you because you just can't bring yourself to find the words of trust. You might have to rehearse the promises of God in his word, especially at the end of lament psalms. You might have to say them so that until they become true. You may lack their confidence, and so we must repeat them and echo them. Much like in today's psalm, the confident prayers of a friend on your behalf can encourage you. So take the confidence of the psalms to guide your heart. Take David's psalms, the psalms of our brothers and sisters of the past, to be the confidence that you might lack in the moment. They can strengthen your hearts. You might just have to start out simply and end your prayer, God, I choose to trust you today. And that's it. There are some days that's all we can muster. But that's still lament. That's still trust. It doesn't have to be a half-hour-long sermon. Again, actually, Jesus says to do the opposite, doesn't he? Don't lay up words as if you can bend God's will to your own. Keep your prayers simple. God, I trust you today. And that may be all we can muster. But don't be fooled. That is progress. That is a good first step. So as we go into Thanksgiving and we go into Advent, you know, there's a whole host of emotions that come around the holidays. There's lots of joy, but there's also lots of pain. For lost loved ones, for loved ones that are not with us during the holidays for whatever reasons, it's really a mixed bag of emotions. Really trying not to quote Will Ferrell right now. But we go into the season of Advent, regardless of how we feel, knowing that the Savior came, endured what we endure on our behalf. And so we can say through tears or through joy, God, you are our merciful God. I trust you. And so your life might be just a ball of anxiety, not knowing what is going to happen tomorrow, how things are going to turn out, if you're going to be able to pay that bill, if you're going to be able to talk to your family, or what is going to happen if your friend or your family is going to make it to the next day. We just don't know. And so God has given us this language of lament because we don't know. But we do know that God can be trusted. And so we turn to him. We complain. We ask him for help and we trust him. For his hands are more than able as we fix our eyes upon him and trust him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the language of lament. We ask that you would strengthen our hearts, that if we are in a season of joy, that joy would abound and we would share who you are with those around us. And for those of us in times of uncertainty and pain and trial, Lord, help us to trust. Help us to rely upon you, our helper. Bring us down the path to trust. And in that, Lord, may people see that are also in pain who you are, and that we do have a sure foundation in the midst of whatever comes our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.